Well, Happy New Year. I'm thrilled to have you here today. It's the first Sunday of the year. Everybody look at your neighbor and tell them the first things are important. Look at your other neighbor and tell them you're important too. First things are important. I love the beginning of every year. Every year I face with a tremendous amount of optimism and excitement and expectation for what God's going to do. And I'm just going to tell you now, I'm not interested in giving you a gimmick. I'm not interested in talking to you about something that you know, just makes you feel good on the inside. This year's going to be whatever you make it. Let me try it again. This might be a little rougher this morning. I hope you brought your steel-toed boots, but we got a mission right now, and that is to get you prepared to be the people God created you to be. How many of you want to be the genuine article? You say, I want to be a real disciple of Jesus Christ. I don't want to be an imitation. I want to be the real thing. I want the world to look at me and see him. So this year will be whatever you make it. Come on. Amen. So I face every year with a tremendous amount of excitement and optimism and just an expectation in my spirit. My outlook is just huge every single year. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to be honest with you. Every year since I got saved, I was able to look back at the last year and say, that was the greatest year of my life. I believe that's what God wants every one of us to experience. I believe that's the power of walking in God's will. I believe that's the power of being obedient to this book. Not just hearing it, but doing it. I'm talking about living what you learn one day at a time. You don't have to be responsible for all of it, but you are responsible for what you know. Amen? And so I'm challenging you right now to increase your expectation for what kind of year this is going to be. And for the last couple months, God has laid a scripture on my heart that's been stirring in my spirit that I cannot wait to share with you today because it's so powerful. And as I think about it, it's the greatest key. I said that in the push to you yesterday that y'all received. Minister Weil writes them, and he came and he said, what do you want this one to say? And I said, this is the greatest key to victory in every area of y'all's life. You ready for this? This is the difference maker. Praise God for all 11 of you. I said, are you ready for this? All right, here it is. I want you to take your Bible and I want you to go to Matthew chapter 13, verse 44. Matthew chapter 13, verse 44. I'm talking about taking every year and turning every year into your best year. I'm talking about every year being your banner year. I'm talking about looking back and every year you go by being the best you ever did. And here's the key. Here's what it's all about. The number one thing you can do to make 2019 and every year after it the best year of your life, here it is to go all in with God. I said, you got to go all in with God. I said it to the ushers today. I said it to the greeters today. No matter what you do in life, if you're going to win, you got to go all in. I said, if you're going to win, you got to go all in. Let me try it up in the balcony. If you're going to win, you got to go all in. I don't care if it's being a husband or being a wife or being a parent or being a business owner or being an employee or being a Christian or being an American or being a friend or being a son or a daughter. If you're going to win, you got to go all in. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You already know and see where this is going this morning. Matthew chapter 13, verse 44. Here's what our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, said. He said, again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure. We ought to treasure the kingdom of God. He said, the kingdom of heaven is treasure. In 2019, God needs you to realign your focus and treasure the kingdom of heaven. He said, it's like treasure hidden in a field. Well, hidden treasure has to be found. You don't hide treasure, Lois, on the surface. Hello? Y'all with me? Again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field which a man found and hid. And for the joy over it, he goes and sells all he has and he buys that field. I want you to get the picture. He goes and sells out. He goes and sells everything he's got. He puts all his eggs in one basket. He does not diversify, Jason. He goes and sells everything he's got. He cashes it in. He gets on eBay and sells it all. And he buys one thing. Somebody say one thing. That's the power of focus. When you invest your life into this one thing, it is the key to experiencing the kingdom of God. Are y'all ready? Jesus is telling us you got to go all in if you want this thing to work. You got to go all in if you want the kingdom to work for you. You got to go all in if you want the word to work for you. Come on, when you get saved, it's by calling Jesus Lord. There is no part-time lordship. Lord means he's the master and I'm the servant. Hello? You got to go all in with Jesus. And so that's what we're talking about. And I've established this philosophy in my life. If we can't go all in, we don't do it. I don't do anything that I can't go all in on. If I'm going to do something, I'm going to go all in. Because everything I do tells a story. It tells whether you care, or Miss Bonnie, it tells whether you don't care. So if I'm going to do something, I'm going all in. When I got saved, Jeff, I went all in. Hello? When I got married, I went all in. I put all my eggs in her basket. If this thing don't work out, I'm in serious trouble, y'all. That's why I told you, if she leaves, I'm going with her. I can't do any better. I'd have to become, where you have multiple wives. What's that one called? Polygamy. I'd have to be a Mormon if this didn't work out, because I need 10 women to replace her. You got to go all in. When I got called into ministry, I went all in. I didn't look back. When we started Victory Church, we went all in. We don't do anything that we can't be all in for God on. See, that's what God wants in our life. He said the first and greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with everything you got. Spirit, soul, body, heart, mind, everything. He said, I want you to go all in. And he said, I want you to love your neighbor the same way. I want you to go all in with those around you. That's how you invest your life to begin making a difference. And so no matter what we've done, we've always been all in. People thought we were crazy when we started building a building this big, and Calvin Bristol started clearing the ground for this. People thought they're building a Walmart in Troy. Well, it's a super center, but it ain't no Walmart. You can come here and find what you need. I can tell you that. I remember it was the worst year financially since the Great Depression. And we set Calvin out $100,000 and said, get to work. We didn't even have a mortgage yet. But let me tell you, that's going all in. When we did get the mortgage, we closed on the loan 2 weeks before the financial collapse of 09. Let me tell you, that's going all in for a startup church and a 20-some-year-old kid on a $1.15 million loan. That's going all in. We were still $225,000 short. Woody looked at me one day and he said, what are you going to do? I said, the same thing we've always done. We're going to believe God for it. It don't matter if it's $5 or $500,000. When you ain't got it, you ain't got it. Amen? And so you can believe God for whatever you need, but you got to go all in. Somebody look at your neighbor and tell him you got to go all in. That's the way this thing works. As you look through the Bible, you will find, Julio, a bunch of people who went all in for God, and that's why it worked. When Abraham followed God, he left his family. He left everyone and everything and everywhere he had ever known to go follow of God he had never met before. We are here today because of what Abraham did for us. He went all in for God. Can I tell you today that when Noah began to build that ark, he had to go all in for God, Cat. It was 100 years it took him to build that thing. He didn't just kind of go halfway about building the ark. He didn't say, well, I think we'll leave a hole here. It really won't matter that much. It's not that big of a hole. They were going to spend months on that thing, and they needed it to float. They had to go all in. When David stepped out on the battlefield against Goliath, let me tell you right now, that little boy had to go all in for God because it was do or die in that moment. When Elisha answered the call of God to follow Elijah, he actually burned the plows and everything that he had, and he made a sacrifice. God wants us to go all in with him. And if you're going to win, you got to go all in. If you're going to win, you got to go all in. In 2019, Victory Church is called that for a reason, and it's because we see wins every week, and we're going to go all in for Jesus this year. Can somebody give him an all in praise this morning? When God sent Jesus to save you, Miss Gail, he went all in. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten son. He gave his very best. He gave it all, Paul. He gave everything he had. And Jesus came and he laid down his life and he obeyed the Father and he died on the cross and he poured out every drop of blood. Why? Because he went all in. He was investing himself in you. That's why it just perturbs me a little bit when I see people coming to church and act like God never did anything for them. I hope this isn't too hard on the first Sunday of 2019. And I hope somebody comes back next week. Pardon me, I got to go all in on my praise. If I'm going to clap, I'm going all in. If I'm going to give, I'm going all in. If I'm inviting somebody to Jesus, I'm going all in and expecting them to accept the invitation. If I'm sharing God's word, I'm going all in. I can't stand around and act like he didn't do nothing for me. God did a work in my life, and I will never be able to get over what Jesus has done in me. Come on, somebody. You got to go all in if you're going to win. When you go all in, there's no room for regret. Because you ain't got nothing left to give. When Anna shows horses, we got two rules. Anna, what are they? Have fun and do your best. Have fun, number one, because it's a hobby. If you ain't having fun, it ain't a hobby. It's a job. And number two, what was it? Do your best. Because if you've done your best, whether you win or lose, you can go home and sleep good that night. Let me tell you, there's coming a day when you're going to fall asleep. And when you close your eyes, you're going to meet Jesus. Y'all understand what kind of sleep I'm talking about? Hello? And don't think, this is the key for you to go all in and invest your best, is the key for you to die with no regrets. And some of us have regrets. Some of you walked in today with regrets, but you can lay them aside right now. And you can make this the best year of your life. Or like Pastor Marcia preached last week, she had that baggage up here. Man, I don't know how she did it. She was dragging all that stuff around. And it was such a clear picture of how stupid we look. Wasn't it? It was such an eye-opener for so many of us. I was in tears both services on that message. And we ain't dragging that stuff in. This morning is one of those from this day forward moments where we go all in. Whatever it is holding us back, we got to let go of. See, when Jesus showed up, and he began to call men to follow him and women, he was looking for people who would go all in for him. When he invited Peter and his brother Andrew to follow him, they were actually at their job. They were working on their nets and they were at their fishing boats. And it's what they did for a career, Matt. And Jesus said, come and follow me. And they left all that and they followed him. James and John did the same thing. See, it costs you something to follow Jesus. If Christianity don't cost you something, I wonder if we're really disciples. Is this okay in 2019? Come on, we're going to be the real deal this year. Because let me tell you what happens when you say, Jesus, I want it all. Jesus, don't hold nothing back. Your world is going to be radically changed because you're going to see the power of God released through your life in a greater measure than ever before. Your purpose is going to explode. Your vision is going to explode. Every day of your life and every step you take, every word from your mouth now has a new significance. No matter what you face, no matter what you're going through. This is critical for us to grab a hold of and to run with every single day. I think about Matthew, the tax collector. See, this was a lucrative career. It was a career of power and prestige. But Jesus said, come and follow me. And he said, I want you to work with me. And he got up and he walked away from all of that. And he followed Jesus Christ. Actually, when Peter looks back in Luke chapter 18, verse 28, and he describes what following Jesus cost him, he says this to him. He said, Lord, see, we have left all. How much did he leave? How much did he leave? All. And followed who? Followed who? I know you follow a lot of people online, but who's the number one person we ought to be following? Who's the number one person we ought to be following? It's Jesus. He said, we've left everything and we've followed you. See, when you call on the name of the Lord, you're saying, Lord, I lay up. Nothing else matters to me as much as you. And this is the most critical thing in our lives, that we go all in if we're going to win. And Jesus is still calling those who follow him to go all in. And so today there's a card on the seat back or seat pocket in front of you. And I want everybody to reach out and grab one. Everybody, if you would reach out and grab one right now. There's one for each and every single person. I don't care how old you are. And it says this. It says on it, I'm going all in with God this year. And then it asks you a question. What do you need to lay on the altar? The altar is a place of sacrifice. What do you need to lay or leave on the altar to be your best in 2019? What things are holding you back from saying, God, I surrender. I'm going all in. What things are keeping you from being your best this year? And here's what's going to happen. As this morning goes on, some of y'all know right now what those things are. They're coming to you right now. I want you to take a pen and write them down. But as this morning goes on, here's what's going to happen. The Holy Spirit's going to begin revealing things in your heart and in your life that God wants to deal with today, that you can lay down today so that you can overcome it. And I want you to take a pen and I want you to write it down. If you don't have a pen, bump your neighbor. Say, hey, you got a pen I can borrow? If they don't have one, reach over them to the person beside them. Hey, you got a pen I can borrow? If they don't have one, get up and walk to the other side of the room and say, hey, anybody got a pen? Oh, I know he's preaching. Y'all got a pen? And write it down. And here's the deal. Maybe it's a secret sin. Maybe it's failure. Maybe it's a habit. Maybe it's a disappointment. Maybe it's a gender struggle, or you're struggling with your sexuality. Maybe it's sadness and depression. Maybe it's hopelessness. Maybe it's unforgiveness or grief you can't get free from, or a mistake you made, or anger or addiction or fear or a weakness or an insecurity. But these are the bags Pastor Marcia talked to us about last week. And these are the things we're going to lay on the altar by the end of this service, and we're going to leave them behind. I'm going to read to you the things on mine. I'm going to be super transparent with you. Disappointment, abandonment, rejection, frustration, anger, and procrastination. All the real folks said amen. And so I want you to write these things down during this service. And the second step we're going to take at the end of the service is I'm going to ask you to get up out of your seat. Uh-oh, it's getting uncomfortable now. Remember, I told you following Jesus costs you something. And I'm going to ask you to walk down front. You mean I got to go up in front of everybody? Yeah, you sure do. Maybe you ought to write fear on your card. And I'm going to ask you, it's going to be easier than you think, though, because everybody's going to be doing it. I want you to bring it to the altar right here. We call this area the altar. This is where you lay it down. This is where you lay it down. And then you're going to leave it behind because you're going to go back to your seat. And the fourth step we're going to take is this. We're going to worship. We're going to worship over that thing. We're going to declare on the first Sunday of the year that Jesus is Lord of our lives, Lord of over our situations, Lord over our minds, Lord over our families, Lord over our finances, Lord over this region, Lord over our nation. We're going to declare the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And let me tell you, where the Lordship of Jesus is established, the kingdom comes in the totality of its capacity, and we see the power of God show up. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of just a little dabble, do you? I need everything God's got for me in 2019. I need breakthrough in my life. I want to see God show up. Is anybody with me at 9 o'clock in the morning? And I believe we're going to see God do it before we leave this place today. Are you ready? Praise God for four of you. Are you ready? With every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to ask you a question right now before we go any farther. Do you know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior? Going all in with God begins so simple. It begins with saying, Jesus, I make you my Lord. I've made a mess of my life, but I surrender to you. See, he loves you so much. He came to this earth. He couldn't stand the thought of living without you. So he gave his life for you so that you could enjoy his life here on earth and abundant and eternal life in heaven. It's more than going to church. It's more than reading a Bible. It's more than being a good person. You can never be good enough. Maybe you're here today and you say, Josh, I walked with God at one time, but to be honest, I've fallen away. And today I want to come back home, but I don't feel like I can. Friend, he's so close. He's as close as the whisper of his name. That's all you got to do. You might have walked away from him, but he's never left you. He's here right now for you. And I'm going to count to three. And if either of those describe you and you say, Josh, today on the first Sunday of this year, I want to begin things right. I want to set things new. I want a brand new start with God today. I need Jesus to save me from myself, from my sin, from Satan. I need Jesus to come in and make me brand new from the inside out. If that's you, I'm going to count to three and I want you to raise your hand. Again, it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. One, two, three, that's me. One, two, three, four. Is there somebody else here today? Five, six, seven, eight, nine. 10. Is there somebody else? Keep your hands up and wave at me real high. 11, 12, 13. Is there another one here this morning? 14. Is there just one more? 5, 4, 3, 2. See, we're not trying. Come on, everybody, look up at me right now. Can we give God praise for 14 people? We're not trying to work you up. This isn't about hype. There's no music playing. There's no band. The lights don't mean a thing. It's about you and Jesus. Welcome to the best life you've ever lived. It may not, let me tell you right now, it doesn't mean everything's going to go the way you thought it would, but it does mean that you got somebody on your side and you are undefeatable. And his name is Jesus Christ. Now let's do something else. With every head bowed and every eye closed, repeat this prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus, save me. Thank you for dying on the cross in my place for my sin. I give you my heart. I give you the throne of my life. Come and establish your kingdom inside me. Fill my life with your Holy Spirit. You are my Lord and you are my Savior. I believe God raised you from the dead and you're alive today. So Jesus, live in me and make me live just like you. I thank you now. I declare I am free, I am family, and I'm forgiven. In Jesus' name I pray. Come on, church, let's celebrate with the angels in heaven right now. Welcome to the family. You just went all in. Amen? You just went all in right there. All in. No looking back. Jesus said anybody that puts their hand to the plow and they look back, they're not fit for my kingdom. We're not looking back. That's not us. Remember Lot's wife. Can you say amen today? And so here's what you got to know this morning. You will never be second when you put Jesus first. I said you will never be second when you make Jesus first. You will never be second when you make Jesus first. We think we got to be on the throne to make things work. You will never be second when you put Jesus first. Colossians chapter 1 verse 18 is going to be our banner verse for this entire month. And it said, Christ is also the head of the church, which is his body. He is the beginning, supreme over all who rise from the dead. Watch this. So he is what? Everybody hold up one finger. Do like this. Tomorrow night, college football, they're going to crown a champion. And you're going to see a lot of people doing this right here. Which way are you pointing when you do this? Up. Number one, up. Think that's coincidence? You'll never be second by making God first. It says he is first. You can put your hand down. He is first in everything. How many things is he first in? How many things is he first in? Well, let me tell you right now. He's not first in everybody's life, but he's still first in everything. You say, Josh, how can that be? He's first whether you like it or not. He's first whether you make him first in your life or not. But what happens is he's already first. And Chris, whenever you acknowledge that he is first and that he is Lord and that he is master in your life, then everything he is begins to show up on the inside of you. And when you get better, everybody around you gets better. See, when I make him first, I'm a better husband. When I make him first, I'm a better believer. When I make him first, I'm a better employee. When I make him first, I'm a better follower. When I make him first, I'm a better Christian. When I make him first, I'm a better daddy. I can never be my best until Jesus is first. But I thank God for a room full of people on the first Sunday of 2019, Chris G, that say Jesus is first in my life, and that means I'm going to have the best year ever. Somebody say he's first. Here's what you got to know. He's first in order. First in order. The very first scripture of your Bible, the book God wrote to you. You know, I want you to think about this. Again, I'm going to be a little bit tough today, but it's time we grow. I'm not saying we haven't been growing. We've been doing good, but I'm calling you to a higher standard. I'm stretching your faith today. Stretching don't always feel good, especially if you haven't done it in a long time. But Genesis 1:1, the very first verse God wrote to us, and this is his love letter to you. Right above it in Genesis 1:1, I wrote, Dear Josh, dot, dot, dot. This is God's love letter to you. If I wrote a love letter to Marcia and she never read it, I'd be insulted. I'm gonna leave that one alone. Y'all fill in the dots. First four words of the very first verse in your Bible says everything you need to know. In the beginning, who? God is the beginning of it all. God is the beginning of life. God is first. There is no other first. There is no tied for first. There is no room on the throne of your heart for anybody else but just one. Somebody say one. The throne of your heart is a seat for one. And let me tell you, there is constant competition for that first seat on your heart. Because whoever or whatever we allow to sit in that place in our life is in control. And the decisions we make are what make us. They determine the life that we're going to live. Only you can decide who's going to sit on the throne of your heart. Because whoever sits on that seat in your heart is the Lord of your life. Whether you call Jesus Lord or not. This making sense? Jesus bought the rights to that seat in my heart when he died for us on the cross of Calvary. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20 says, you don't belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price. He bought you with the blood of his son, Jesus Christ. And here's what that means. It means that anything else we allow on the throne of our heart other than Jesus is a trespasser. Not only that, but anything else we allow to sit on the throne of our heart is subpar. It is less than God's best for your life. So he's first in order. Number two, he's first in importance. Somebody say importance. There is nothing in my life more important to me than Jesus. Actually, Jesus said it like this in Matthew 10:37. He said, if you love your kids more than me, you don't love me. He said, if you love your spouse more than me, I'm not Lord of your life. He's got to be first. Amen. And first means first. First in importance. I love my wife with all my heart. Y'all see that. You've seen that for years. But let me tell you, I love Jesus much more than her. And because I love Jesus, I can love her. Not because she's hard to deal with, but because I'm hard to handle. I love my kids with everything I am. I mean, I love having children, man. They're a reflection of their mama. Little minute bee in there somewhere. But I love my kids with all my heart. I love Jesus so much more than them. See, he's the most important thing in our life. He will take no second place to anything or anyone else. Anything we make second in our life becomes an idol. Somebody say idol. We think of pagans dancing around, bowing down to a totem pole. But can I tell you, America is full of idolatry, no matter how modern she is today. We are bowing down to everything but Jesus. Anything I look to for something I should be finding and can only find from him is an idol in my life. It's time for us, church, to get our eyes back on Jesus. It's time for us, church, to look back to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the only one who can make a difference and the only one who can make your life matter. Jesus is Lord of everything, or he is Lord of nothing. I'm my best when I put him first. When he's first, life makes sense. When he's first, life begins to come into alignment. Somebody say alignment. When I put him first, he brings order. Somebody say order. Into every area of my life. And order is the opposite of chaos. And this is a light bulb moment for somebody right now. Because you just recognize there's an area of my life where it's full of chaos and confusion. I can almost guarantee you that's an area where Jesus Christ has not been established as Lord of your life. And if you will begin declaring Jesus as Lord in that in and over that area of your life, you will see changes in that situation. And if it's with a difficult person and they won't change, God will change us. Come on. You can stop being a victim in 2019. Stop whining about what other people have done to you and start thanking them for what they're doing for you, because God is still able to work all things together for your good and his glory. Somebody ought to give God praise right now. See, when Jesus is first, I'm a better person. And when I get better, it blesses everybody around me, because I can't be right with God and wrong with man. This side of the room didn't like it. I said, I can't be right with God and wrong with man. Some of the meanest people you might ever meet are Christians. Christians ought to be people that make the world a better place. You hear me? Christians ought to make the world a better place. We are the salt of the earth. We're the light of the world. How many of y'all would agree with me that life can be really difficult, really complicated, and it seems like it's spinning faster and faster all the time? When you make Jesus first, it gives you a place to focus and it simplifies your life. Jesus makes life simple. Life can be overwhelming. We get pulled in so many different directions. There are so many demands. There are so many voices in the world. So many other desires and people's opinions of us. And here's what I've learned. If you try to please everybody, you're going to end up pleasing nobody. You're going to end up being Frankenstein if you try to be what everybody wants you to be. And so I just made up my mind that I'm living for an audience of one. I live for an audience of one. There's only one person in my life that matters. Hello? I live for him. I care more about what he thinks than about what anybody else thinks. You know, that's a liberating thought. I care more about what he says than what anybody else says. That's a liberating thought. I care more about his opinion than what anybody else's opinion or what they think of me says. And my friends, that's what you call the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. And the book of Proverbs talks a lot about the fear of the Lord. Actually, Proverbs chapter 14, verse 26, I love this. It says, in the fear of the Lord, there is strong, what's that C word? confidence. There is strong, what's that C word? Confidence. And his children will have a place of refuge. See, when I put God first, it brings confidence into my life. I don't need others to approve me when I know that I approve myself. I don't need you to like me when I like myself. I don't need you to love me when I love myself. I don't need you to sign off and approve of my life or believe in me when I believe in myself and I know who I am and I have my identity and I know who God created me to be. See, I know I'm loved whether you love me or not. I know I'm liked whether you like me or not. I know I'm accepted whether you accept me or not. I know I'm approved whether you approve of me or not. I know I'm chosen and wanted whether you choose me or want me or not. I know I'm valuable as the Son of God, whether you value me or not. Somebody here, your parents might have called you worthless, but they still can't steal your purpose because they can't take from you what they didn't give to you. Your identity and your validation and your personality and your security and your victory, it comes from your source, and it is Jesus Christ, the Son of God and Savior of man, and he doesn't change his mind about what he thinks about you. But what happens is when we look for these things that I'm talking about in other people, when we look for somebody else to provide this, what we've done is we've put our life in their hands. We put our future in their hands. We put our hope in their hands. We put our security, our identity, and who we are in their hands and what they say about us. We've given them control over us. We've made them first. We've made them the source of our significance. We've made them the Lord of our lives. And that's why when they don't respond to you 16 seconds after you texted them, we start freaking out and assuming the worst and say, my God, they must hate me, and it feels like the whole world's falling apart because we've become addicted to their approval instead of his approval. And you cannot look to man to supply you with what only God can provide you. And the day you realize that Jesus is the only one you got to please and Jesus is the only one you got to serve, then all of a sudden you're going to find something better than confidence in you. You're going to find Godfidence in you. You're going to find something rising up on the inside of you like a well that's bubbling over. Jesus said it like this: those who are followers and believe in me, they're going to drink of the water I give them and they shall never thirst again. And I'm going to put on the inside of those believers a well that will never run dry, that bubbles up with everlasting life. Can I tell you right now, church, when you stop looking to others and you start looking to Jesus, he's going to point you to inside of your heart and you're going to realize there is a well on the inside of you, a well of victory, a well of security, a well of approval, a well of confidence, a well of security and acceptance and deliverance and success and prosperity. Can I tell you right now, in the book of Genesis, that God created everything to grow and multiply and reproduce and to live and to flourish. We're no different, church. You already have what you need on the inside of you. But as long as we keep running to something else, as long as we keep running to someone else, as long as we keep running to somewhere else, we will never discover the greatness God has put inside of you. This is a year to discover the greatness in you. I don't care how much it hurts. For the moment, we're going to pull the layers off and you're going to see it's God that is great on the inside of you, and you can be great inside of him. Can you give him praise? Come on, give him praise. Let me finish with this. Our generation is a generation marked by comparison. Our generation is marked by comparison. Could it be that is the reason that our generation is so hopeless, so depressed, so discouraged, so addicted, so in debt, so suicidal? Because happiness, Rich, is a human addiction. We all are searching for happiness, but there's only one way to find it. And everything else will bankrupt us. We're looking at the wrong things and they're robbing us blind. A secular study found this, that Facebook makes people feel worse about themselves. I know y'all have thought I'm crazy for 5 years talking the way I do about this stuff. Secular studies are proving it now. Facebook makes people feel worse about themselves. The more you surf and browse, the more discontent you become with your own life. You hear what I'm telling you? This is a major problem. And these things are connected in our generation. Because here's what we do. We look at this person who looks great at this, and that person who looks great at that. And we're thinking to ourselves, well, I'm not that great at any of those. I'm just a loser. And we think we got to be good at everything that they're good at. And the truth is, it's all a deception. They posed for 30 minutes just to get the perfect shot. And the second that camera clicked and they got it, they went straight back to the meh emoji. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I mean, you trying to get that perfect shot to show the world who you want them to think you are? It's like our Christmas card. Y'all got our Christmas card? Look like we're pretty happy. We're having a great time. Lori Morrison did a phenomenal job. Lori, wave at everybody. She was the one who shot that. Y'all give it up for Miss Lori. That alpaca kicked her. Then she fell down the hill and rolled down. Taking a picture, I said, watch out, it's slick. There she went. So I'm sitting there and all like, y'all think, oh man, they're having the time of their life. I bet they left there and went out to eat and had a great time and a party. And no, man, we're picking Lori up off the ground and praying she ain't going to sue our alpaca for kicking her face. Kicking her hip. You understand what I'm telling you? See, it's deception. Satan's slick, isn't he? Look at your neighbor and tell him the devil's slick. You were only created to be great at one or two things. So you do you. God created you an original. Don't you dare settle for being an imitation. You can only be you. Everybody else is taken. Be yourself. Come on. Tell somebody, be yourself. Be yourself. Limitations and imitations are never worth as much as the original. And that's why we feel so down and so worthless about ourselves, because we're trying to be somebody else. We're trying to compare ourselves to somebody else. But I'm my best when I put Jesus first. I'm my best when I put Jesus first. When I make Jesus Lord of my life, I'm saying yes to his best. I'm saying yes to my best. I'm saying yes to what's the best for everybody around me. I'm saying yes to the best year of my life. See, you got to understand today that giving him the first place is the greatest gift you can give Jesus. And it's something you don't just do once. For those of you who raised your hand, congratulations, welcome to the family. But every day I got to give him my life. I don't have to pray that prayer again, but every day I got to surrender to him. Every day I got to say, God, my house is your house. My heart is your heart. My mouth is your mouth. My feet are your feet. My hands are your hands. My abilities came from you. My wallet belongs to you. You're my Lord and my master and my father and my daddy and my king and my creator. You're my God. You are the breath in my lungs. You're the blood in my veins. Victory. You're the life in my body. You're the light in my eyes. You're the first and you're the last. You're the portion and you're my prize. You're everything to me. You're really all that I'll ever need. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to bless the Lord. We're going to obey the Lord. We're going to follow the Lord. We're going to go after God. We're going to seek God with everything we got. Come on, somebody. Would you get on your feet? If you're going to make Jesus king in your life today, would you give him praise? Right now, I want everybody to do this, and everybody with a mic, I want to hear you real loud. I want everybody to say this. Jesus.
Jesus.
Come on again. Jesus.
Jesus.
I declare your lordship.
Your lordship.
Over my life.
Over my life.
In 2019.
In 2019.
Now give him a lordship kind of praise right now.
Hallelujah.
And all in praise.
Yes.
So, here's what we're doing. The band has already come down and laid their card on the altar. Here's mine. I don't know why I folded it in half. I already told you what's on it. If you want to fold it in half, do it. Your name's not on it. It's anonymous. We have no idea. They all look the same. We didn't mark what seat number you are. You've already done step one. You've already wrote it down. Maybe you didn't have a pen, but God's putting something in your heart. I don't even have to ask. You're already doing it. I want you to step out and come. I want you to step out and come. My God. My God. This is how hungry we are, church. I didn't even ask you to do anything. You're disobeying. Come on. Come lay it down and go to your seat. Come on. Come lay it down. Hallelujah. We'll wait on you from the balcony. It's worth the walk, I promise you. Hang with us. Come on.
Have you come to the end of yourself?
Come on. Come lay it down.
Thirst for a drink from the well. Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's altar.
want you to do, oh, what a Savior, one more time. Isn't he wonderful? Oh, what a Savior.
Oh, what a Savior.
Come on, Jesus.
Isn't he wonderful?
I hear you, church. He hears you.
Sing hallelujah.
Come on, go all in. Go all in.
Christ is risen.
No matter how you sound, it's beautiful. Thank you for what you've done in this room. We thank you for what you've done inside of us. I believe that today, Father, you took walls down in hearts. I believe that baggage was laid on the altar today. And that when we walk out of here, God, we're going to be able to run like we've never run before. It's going to feel so light and it's going to feel so free. And God, there's going to be such a joy. God, we're going all in with you. This isn't just a one-day thing. God, I pray that this high we're on right now doesn't wear off just after we eat lunch. But God, I pray that it lasts tomorrow and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and February and March and April and May and June and July and August and September and October and November and December and next January, Father, that every year becomes the best year of our life because you gave your best to us and we give our best to you. We love you, God. And I just want to say, we want to say thank you, Father, for loving us when we didn't deserve it, when we didn't love ourselves. We are loved by you and we'll love you back with all our lives this year. Protect us and keep us. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. Father, I thank you, God. Let us see a difference from this day forward, God. We increase our expectation and we declare daily, Jesus, you are Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said,
amen.
Amen. We're gonna leave with a big shout and go into this new year, right? Hallelujah. On three. One, two, three.
Hallelujah.
God bless you. Can't wait to see y'all Wednesday night for a powerful night.